open mic night is a very dangerous night.
Everyone has been destroyed because of this freak. I won't allow it!
These babies just saved this lame death party!
You are listening to This Week in Geek, otherwise known as Twig, the flagship of stupidity. I am one of your hosts this week, Mike the Birdman Dobb, but I'm not alone as I trek down this oddly sad and somber edition of Twig. I'm joined with...
Alex, remotely.
Yes, we are enjoying the after effects of Snowmageddon. Now it's basically 10 degrees, foggy, and everything is melty, icy death. It's been a week, to say the very least, if you've been living in southern Ontario or the Midwest of the United States.
Well, in 36 hours, it went from minus 40 Celsius with wind chill to plus 12.
Yeah, it has been a weird and wacky weekend when it comes to the weather. So hopefully you have avoided flooding, depending on where you're living, or having other major disasters befall you this past Super Bowl weekend, which... honestly, not a lot of the trailers kind of blew me away. We'll talk a little bit about that in the news as just kind of a addendum sort of thing to it. But one of the big things I want to talk about this week is this is technically Twig's 13th anniversary. Right? Yeah, 13? Yeah, 2007. Right? Wrong? Right? Yes? 12?
No, 12.
12. 12. Okay, so 12 years we have been on the air as a podcast and website. And that comes with a certain degree of prestige and longevity, and yay, we're still here, yay, we're still broadcasting thousands of hours of content. It's exciting and all that stuff, but that kind of takes a back seat to something I found out today. So as you guys know, for a long time Twig has been friends with the people over at Screw Attack, people like Craig Skismas, Chad James, Ben Singer, etc., etc., the cast of Death Battle. We've been through with Screw Attack since their many iterations. There are many crew members that have gone on, such as Daily Destin went on to IGN. Pro Jared does his Dungeons and Dragons as well as his own stuff on YouTube. And I found out today that as of today, the Screw Attack brand is officially dead. Now, what does that mean? It means Death Battle, which is their arguably their most successful side project, which spawned into its own creative thing, changed to just Death Battle today. So the last remnants of Screw Attack have been, as they dare say, swept away. And when you think about what's happened in the news over the past few weeks, Machinima laying off its 88 employees, some will be left over as a transition team. Machinima's entire archives have been deleted or made private.
That's what's weird about that.
Well, there's reasons. If you go and watch Internet Today, which is made up of former employees Ricky and Elliot from ETC, they go into a little bit of detail, as much as they can legally anyway, as to what happened over there. Then there was with other buyouts with like Defy Media screwing over people. Basically, the era of the MCN, the internet content creators, smaller internet content creators, it's changed a lot in the last couple of years. Twig still remains independent, always will be, will always be free. And it's kind of weird to see us. I never thought we'd outlive Screw Attack. I never thought I'd outlive, well, off the record, I'd always thought I'd suspect I'd outlive the Game Heroes, because Tom was always so busy doing his own thing, being a successful businessman outside in the real world. It was, and plus having a family, it just gets in the way. But I was talking with a lot of people with the hashtag rip screw attack on Twitter, and I found out today I'm not the only person with a screw attack tattoo.
You might have been the first, though.
I was the first, but there's another girl named Victoria who has a screw attack blue bolt, I think, on one of her wrists. And I got talking with her today on Twitter, and I've just been sharing memories and thoughts with screw attack fans today. And it's just, I don't know. It's sad, but I said on Twitter that we don't have to mourn Screw Attack and the G1 community, because we're always going to be there as long as some of us remember what that community is and will forever be, especially through Game Attack and just the very own G1 Game Days that's hosted on Twitch. Every night of the week, they actually raise money for Extra Life every year too. I think this year they raised $4,000. It's always going to live on. It's just not going to be the same that it used to be. And I don't know, I just wanted to share a couple of thoughts on that. Just thank you, Craig, Tom, and everybody who else was involved with Screw Attack for many years of entertainment. Now it's up to the Rooster Teeth guys and the Death Battle guys to carry on the torch as best they can. And I'm trying to remember what the old Screw Attack tagline used to be, but
way back in the olden days.
Yeah, back in 2007 with side scrollers in 2008. I can't remember it for the bloody life of me.
Really, what they were was like when people started to have high speed or higher speed than they used to, it was the first time you could actually watch real videos and actually interact, like, you know, proto YouTube, all that sort of stuff. Because prior to that, everything was either Newgrounds, E-Bombs World, or you know, sites like that, where it was either flash animation that did like 5 frames a second or real media video.
Yeah, and these were some of the first people to create original content. I mean, they were also some of the first people to do skits on the internet. Like, they were some of the first people to do daily news programs, to take outrageous ideas and turn them into web shows, like
name especially tags, when you found out
Life in a Game, yeah, and stuff like that.
When you found out, oh, I'm not censored, I can do whatever I want. There's no cable censors board, or, you know, there was no
FCC border requirements. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the like way you could get entered into the industry was you just did it yourself.
And we've seen how many people have come out of that successfully. Like Destin is one of the big people over at IGN. Like I said, Pro Jared's doing his own thing. Jarrett New. I can't pronounce his last name, Jared. But you see other people still in the industry today, and Craig and his team are still doing Game Attack, and they're still very successful on YouTube as well as Patreon and Twitch. So it's kind of neat just to see how far content creation has come since 2007. And it's kind of shitty because they're 2 weeks away from celebrating 13 years of Screw Attack. It was so close, but
you know, it's probably because it's a new fiscal year as of this weekend, so people, they were announcing what they were changing early.
Yeah, exactly. And it is what it is. Like I said, Death Battle's still gonna go on. Nervous Nick is over at Rooster Teeth or The No doing top tens there. I think he just did his first one a couple of weeks ago, or if not very, very, very recently. So I mean, good luck to everybody over there.
Yeah, to me, like, I hadn't watched or been a fan in probably 7 years or so. Just because everybody I liked had split off. Mm-hmm. Right? So, but it is, I was actually surprised they were still running, because I thought they had folded into, you know.
Rooster Teeth?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Well, Death Battle is stupid successful, and I don't know how they get away with what they do.
I was going to say that I knew was successful. I was just surprised that they were still branding things with Screw Attack.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So that's sort of my thing off the top of the show. Alex, very quickly, what's going on with you?
Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah. Okay.
I just finished it. Review will be out for next week, I believe.
Perfect. Yeah. I myself am working on Resident Evil 2. I'm working on Leon A, Claire B right now. So whether I get to Claire A, Leon B, we'll have to wait and see. But regardless, I'll have my review out this week. Having a fantastic experience with the game so far, though. Had a very frustrating puzzle that made me and Blair almost rage quit the game earlier today. The solution was so simple, we didn't see it.
And was it different? Like, have they altered the puzzles?
Oh, God, yeah. This puzzle was not in the original. It was similar, but different. So it was like, you motherfucker. And I realized, I actually had to reload saves. So I'm thinking, they wouldn't give me a puzzle I couldn't solve. They wouldn't do that.
But remember, this is a company that was doing that back in the 80s and 90s. So yes, they would.
Well, I'll talk about that in my actual review. So look forward to that a little bit later. So coming up on the show this week, we're going to talk about the ongoing saga that is Fallout 76, The Gift That Keeps on Giving. A very unexpected character could potentially be appearing rather in Mortal Kombat 11. And a universal monster may very well be getting his own television series. You don't want to miss that. Also, coming up, one of the most famous baseball players in history is a wacko. One of your favorite websites that likes to debunk stuff, maybe splitting off from a rather large social media network. And finally, this animal has a nipple fetish? Or did? We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Coming up for reviews this week, we actually have a review of the Dungeons & Dragons branded card game Dungeon Mayhem. We also have Ace Combat 7 Skies Unknown from Bandai Namco. And we got an anime review from you, don't we?
Yes, we have Zabungle, which is a Western mecha weird show.
So we'll be checking out that. And as always, Satan's Pantry. So stay tuned right here to Twig, your flagship of stupidity. I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd, joined with Alex, the producer. Join us with the news. But first, a word from our sponsors. And here's my review of Ace Combat Skies Unknown. Hey guys, we're looking at Ace Combat 7 Skies Unknown, coming to us from Bandai Namco. Now, this is a series I've kind of always had a passing interest in, as I do love airplanes and dog fighting. I think it's very cool. And this game definitely takes aerial dog fighting to the next level, especially on the next gen consoles, taking advantage of all the hardware and graphics these things can possibly pump out. Definitely one of the more realistic arcadey experiences, if that makes any kind of sense, that you can get into. So the storyline, well, takes place in the same fictional universe as previous games with Ocean and Eurasia or something. I don't know. Truth be told, I really wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to it because I wanted to be Rudy Tooty point and shooty with my airplanes. And I got to live out the coolest experiences of Top Gun and even a little bit of Veritech from Robotech in this. And I'm not saying you get transforming airplanes in this game because you don't. But one of the planes that I unlocked was the Super Tomcat, which I think a lot of Robotech fighters took inspiration from way back in the day. And it was neat playing this in cockpit view and just looking around the screen trying to figure out, wow, fighter pilots really got to put up with having this cramped little area trying to basically fight for their lives against drones and other pilots. And they don't have a whole lot of things they can rely on other than their sight and the instrumentation in front of them. And it's just, it's kind of incredible just to simulate those speeds. And even little things like going through clouds can ice up your canopy, which I think is tremendously cool. You can do high G maneuvers, which will put stress on the airframe itself. And it's really neat though. Now, the game itself, the combat is fun, especially doing like strafing runs with your machine guns, or using surface-to-air missile, or air-to-surface missiles, or air-to-air missiles. All sorts of special weaponry here is all taken care of. You can fly things, like I said, like the Super Tomcat, which is pretty much my favorite jet of all time. There's like the A-10 Warthog. And basically, I recognize a lot of these things because of things like Transformers and G.I. Joe. However, though, during my review, I did encounter an accessibility issue. Now, as a lot of you know, I play my games sitting far back from my TV in a wheelchair, and I usually have to sit a good 6 to 10 feet back, and I'm playing these things on a 50-inch TV, give or take, and I had a lot of trouble seeing a lot of my enemies because I couldn't track them via sight. Actually, I had to hunt a lot of them via instrumentation and sound. I was relying purely on missile lock. to shoot down a lot of these people. Although guns is still a viable option to shoot down a lot of these people. But if you're like me and you tend to miss a lot, you're going to run out of missiles. And that means a bad time for you. But your missiles do regenerate where you get like a couple back, even if you run out. Obviously not the case in real life. But still though, I did find that to be a weird accessibility issue. So I do find if you are playing this game, you're going to have to sit fairly close up. In fact, I wonder how this game would play in VR, because I'm playing this on the Xbox One, and I know in the PS4 version there is like a VR option, so I really wish I could speak to that, because this game would be friggin' amazing in VR. That being said, can I recommend Ace Combat 7 Skies Unknown? If you're a fan of previous games in this series, I think you're really going to get a whole lot of mileage out of it. I think you're going to have a lot of fun flying these dogfighting battles against all sorts of different opponents, and then being able to see what the different airplanes look in the hangar. There's a lot to like here, and I think if you're a fan of the series, you're definitely going to enjoy Ace Combat 7 Skies Unknown. Need a new weapon in your battle against evil? Check out LibrisArcana.com for Canada's premier RPG dice subscription service for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping. You can get a new complete set of role-playing dice from D4s to D20s delivered straight to your door. Dice themes are new each month and can be anything your mind can imagine and beyond. Visit LibrisArcana.com and subscribe for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping, and be prepared to open up new worlds of adventure.
News on the march!
And we are back here on Twig, your flagship of stupidity. And yeah, that was my review of Ace Combat 7 Skies Unknown. Wanted to love it. Thought it was okay. Accessibility issues aside, I think it's a fantastic game, though. I think, ultimately, if I had a proper setup and I was sitting at the precise angle really close to the TV, I think I would have had a lot more fun with this, but it's just not comfortable for me to sit in my wheelchair for hours at a time. So
was it, like, if you had it set up like people used to do their flight sims, where you got it like you got like a 30-inch screen about 2 feet away from your face and you're sitting in a lazy boy with your flight gear, that would be perfect for it.
Game, like, I can only imagine the game in VR, as I mentioned during my review. I know the PlayStation 4 has exclusive VR stuff for a year. The game would be amazing in VR, especially if you went all out. You got like the Thrustmaster control stick for it. You got your pedals and everything. This game would be amazeballs with the proper controller setup. But that being said, your mileage may vary with this one. It's available on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and the PC as of this week. Okay, so let's talk about the gift that keeps on giving here on Twig. This is the news that is and shall forever be delivered to you right here on your flagship of stupidity. And, of course, game stores are known for doing promos. Sometimes you buy a console, sometimes you get a free game, controller, or some little knickknack. Usually it's to clear out inventory, to liquidate stock, and whatnot. So usually it's a good thing. Game stores in Germany, GameStop specifically in Germany, is doing something a little bit different. So GameStop in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, where if you buy a used PlayStation or Xbox One controller, you get a game. Can you guess what game it is?
No.
It's Fallout 76.
Oh,
the gift
God.
That keeps on giving. And it's not even used. It's brand motherfucking new.
And they probably don't even have to censor it because they just figure it won't even work.
Now, here's the greatest thing. Now, if there are bundles specifically that come with copies of Fallout 76, most notably the Xbox One X bundle, right?
You get two?
You get two copies of Fallout 76.
And oh yeah, because Xbox, does it come with a physical one or is it digital?
It's digital.
So now you
get two.
So you never even have to open the...
Nope. And you can't even give these things away.
They're
in
like
fact,
AOL CDs from the 90s.
Oh my God. In fact, that's a really good analogy to this actually, because small personal story. So there's a guy on Facebook Marketplace who's currently trying to sell his copy of Fallout 76 for $76. He has been trying for weeks. And often, I'll send him a message. I'll be like, hey, you may want to double check your price on that. Not trying to be an asshole, just trying to be helpful, because I like to be Mr. Helpful, Mr. Facebook. I like to help the video game buying community. For example, at Christmas time, you could go to Dollarama and get brand new copies of Titanfall 2 for $4. There were people scalping it for $30 and $40. I went, not fucking today, motherfucker.
That actually helped.
And I went on a local buy and sell group, which has like 30,000 members. Went, hey guys, PSA, if you see this game for anything more than $5, tell them to fuck themselves. Because here you go. You can go to these locations and get it for $5. Merry Christmas, Mike Dodd. Out.
Well, how do you think I got our very own Mr. Christopher a stocking stuffer? That was from your advice there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it works out great, all things considered. So, but still, this is a game that came out in motherfucking November. And it is crashing through the floor at ludicrous speed. This thing has gone plaid at this point.
You know what? The only thing I can compare this to was when I was the one guy, probably in southwestern Ontario, that was convinced that Section 8 was going to be a good game and sell. So I think was it South Peak that made that?
South Peak Interactive.
So I bought a copy for myself. I bought a copy for my coworker when I was working at Future Shop that we play, like, because we're going to do a gift exchange. And I played it the first week, absolutely loved it. I'm not a good shooter guy. I'm usually like the worst player you're going to play with. But I ended up being 8th ranked in North America in the first 2 weeks. And I stayed there for a while because nobody bought it. And this is a case of not only is nobody wanting to play it, it's actually bad. So I can't imagine how abysmal these sales are.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's terrible. And there's more problems. Like, every time Fallout 76 gets patched, something else breaks. And it's to the point where people are getting banned now. If they notice on your account you have mass crafting, they're banning you. Or if they notice you may be duping items, which is admittedly against the terms of service, you shouldn't be doing that. But there are even legitimate players who, hey, I've been stockpiling all this crap since the beginning of the game in my house. Why am I getting banned now?
Because you're stupid.
Bethesda support is so backed up that people aren't getting responses. They're like, if you don't respond to this email within, I think it's 4 days, your account is banned. Now, it's not just your account is banned. Let's say you get banned on Fallout 76, right?
Yeah.
That's your Bethesda.net account.
Everything.
It's exactly. So that's Doom, Wolfenstein. If you happen to be playing on PC, that can bone you hard. So that is something terrible, unfortunate. So let's bring the news to something a little bit happier in the gaming space. Mortal Kombat is a franchise known for its guest characters, from Kratos to Freddy Krueger, Jason Voorhees, the Predator, Leatherface. But a new challenger may be entering the ring to fight for Earthrealm.
Can I guess?
Oh boy. A petition with over 300,000 signatures is currently circulating the internet. And oh my god, Scoob, you'll never guess who it is. Zoinks! It's fucking Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
I was hoping it was going to be Bashful, the Care Bear.
Now, here's the weird thing. One of the art directors from Mortal Kombat posted a screenshot of Shaggy fighting Scorpion. And now, he was like, what's his high, what's his mid, and what's his grab? And it looked like it was in character engine. Now, they could have just been screwing around.
Well, the thing is, they've not done anything above a PG, I think, with that franchise before. But they do wholly own it. So this isn't an issue of licensing.
Well, it's Warner Brothers. They can do whatever the hell they want. Yeah. I mean, they could put Looney Tunes characters into it if they want. If they wanted to put the big Chungus, which is the big internet meme right now, into it, they could, if they so desired. And let's not forget, no, Shaggy is not unfamiliar with Mortal Kombat. He's fought a Demon Bear, John Cena, Sin Cara, Kane, and multiple ghosts over the years.
They were
Shaggy. Mortal Kombat is not
you and I watched that. Possibility. We watched that episode of Supernatural that they were all in it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not like the franchise is unfamiliar with a more, shall we say, adult tone.
But would he actually smoke weed or something in it instead?
See, if they did this, I kind of hope they take the meme where they steal it from Dragon Ball Z a touch and have Shaggy go Ultra Instinct, where he kind of glows like silverish blue. I think that would be amazing. Hell, there is this one company, I can't remember the name of, they made Shaggy into a D&D 5th edition monster that could take on, in theory, the Tarrasque and win. Even Matthew Lillard got in on it. He's like, I'm not even using 3% of my total power. And he's fully embracing it. Like, it's weird to see how many people are just taken off with this.
Because he needs a job, that's why.
I mean, ultimately, man, if they did this, if Shaggy was even if you told me, we'll put Shaggy in, but it'll cost you $10, no problem. Here you go. Money spent. Well done. Day one purchase. It's stupid, but if that's what the people want, Ed Boon should just have to say, oh, well, you guys wanted it. Why not?
They need to put that kangaroo, the boxing kangaroo.
Oh, in. From like Tekken, yeah.
No, from the... from Looney Tunes. You know, the one where Sylvester would...
Yeah.
He thought it was a mouse.
Or maybe, like, the bashful friggin' buzzard or something.
Oh, yeah. Foghorn Leghorn. I want Foghorn Leghorn. I'll say I'm gonna kill you.
See, you know what? If there was a Looney Tunes fighting game with today's... I mean, think about the properties that Warner Brothers owns. They own Hanna-Barbera. They own the Flintstones. They own Scooby-Doo. You could put a Looney Tunes fighter together, and if it was like Clay Fighter, why the hell not?
Or even like the Dragon Ball Z one, because there's no blood.
Yeah, exactly. It's just cartoon violence. Who cares? It's gonna just be
have like when they hit the explosions, just have it like a puff of smoke with like the you know poof, and have like the text fly on the screen and everything.
Exactly. It could be just something as simple as that. So you know what? If that happens, I would totally be down for it. So moving on to my next story. This is weird. So Entertainment Weekly is reporting that CBS has ordered a pilot called Frankenstein, loosely based on the Mary Shelley novel, but it's also going to be about a San Francisco police detective who's mysteriously brought back to life after being killed in the line of duty. But as he resumes his old life, he and his wife realize he isn't the same person he used to be. They zero in on the strange man behind his resurrection, Dr. Victor Frankenstein.
You know what? Okay, I'm the TV buff, and I watch all the crap that's been coming out in the last 15 years that gets canceled after two or three episodes. Mm-hmm. That story has been done like four or five times in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And never goes past like four episodes.
But so, yeah, this sounds familiar. Now, they do have one of the guys from Burn Notice doing it, Jason okay. Tracy. So he's going to be on board with this. So it may not be total crap.
Well, I was going to say, that show ran 7 years and had a TV movie. So
I don't know. Now, supposedly, this is very similar to a show that happened back in 2016 called Second Chance.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, so...
And it ran, I think, 10 episodes, maybe 15?
Yeah, it was canceled not too long after, like a couple of months at best. I don't know. I think the idea is interesting, but I just not enough for a TV series, maybe a miniseries, maybe a TV movie, which you never seem to see those anymore.
I'll only watch it if Frankenstein or Dr. Frankenstein is played by Jeffrey Rush from... You remember how he played Casanova Frankenstein in Mystery Men? That's what I want. I want that. That could be the cop show. It's a Mystery Men cop show with Casanova Frankenstein.
You know what would be cool? If, let's say this does go to series, you want to win me over with a guest star for your Halloween episode, you get Jeffrey Combs, to come play Dr. Herbert West Reanimator. And I am there for as long as the show is on the air.
And then to add, a little more to it for a Halloween episode, have him reanimate Roseanne's career. That could work.
Yeah, there could be. Who knows? So anyway, that's what happened to us around the news this week. We're going to take a brief break here on the show and take a look at Alex's anime review. This is Zabungle. Zabungle. Pretty sure I said that right. So we'll Zabungle. Be back, guys. Right? Zabungle.
Or Zabungaroo.
So we'll be back right after this, right here on Twig, your flagship of stupidity.
...2019 rolls on with more anime. Now, this comes to us, I should start out by saying, a bit of a surprise, because we'd asked for it a while ago, and weren't sure if we were going to get it, and it looks like this and another release came through at the last minute, and very, very happy to be bringing you Zabungle from Made in Japan, which is, I believe, a subsidiary of Section 23, the company that's putting out a lot of obscure anime lately. Some stuff that's very popular, you know, mainstream, that's new. They're doing new dubs for those, but they're also going into the catalogs of you know, back catalogs of a lot of properties that you wouldn't normally think of unless you were a hardcore mecha fan. This being one of them, Blue Gale Zabungle, I had not heard of until they announced the release for this, and I did a bunch of research on it. It is a giant robot space western circa, I believe, around 1980 or so is when it came out, mid-80s. It is a 50-episode show, and it comes with a movie. Now, interestingly, this is one of those releases that has foregone the traditional Blu-ray release of, you know, 1080p, and they didn't, you know, have to go and do a full remaster of it or upscale it, which makes it look bad. This is standard definition on DVD or on Blu-ray, sorry. So what does that mean? That means that you can fit 50 episodes or more in some cases on one or two Blu-ray discs. Now, is it as good quality as if you had a full remaster and 1080p? No, but that's not what this is for. This is to sort of forego and replace your traditional DVD release, where this would be, oh, easily this many episodes, you figure about 8 per disc. You'd be putting out about 8 to 10 discs or so just to get all these episodes on there in decent quality, especially if it includes the movie. Now, this saves on space, saves on shipping, saves on everything, and that way you can pop a disc in and just have it play all the way through, you know, in this case, 35 episodes on the first disc and then the rest of the episodes in the movie on the second. Now, it's also better quality than a DVD would normally be, because a DVD is 480p, but it's not generally 480p, it's 480i, and then they use a deinterlacing method when you watch it on your actual screen there. So what does that mean? That means you're only getting half of the lines of resolution that you can get out of normal 480p, like a pure digital 480p, which is what you get with these SD on Blu-rays. So you're getting basically double the lines of resolution. It's progressive fidelity. It's playing at the proper 24 frames a second instead of having to do some conversion magic to get it to, from 29 frames to 24. So basically, you get it's like a DVD 0.5, if I had to say the increase in quality. It's a lot better than DVD, but not as good, obviously, as a full-fledged Blu-ray release. But that being said, this is one of those releases that you wouldn't have normally expected to come out in the first place. So I'll give you a basic premise on that says it right on the box. On the planet Zola, the statute of limitations for any crime is just 3 days. So basically, it's almost like the Purge, I guess. You can get away with any crime. Oh, I guess it's reversed. You can get away with any crime if you can't get caught within 3 days. And this boy's family is murdered, and he fails to catch them, the perpetrators, in time. So now he has a sort of a blood vendetta and makes off with some young pirates to steal the Zabungle, which is a giant mecha that just destroys basically everything in its path compared to everybody else, and goes on the run from everybody. And it's sort of weird, wacky, what you figure from 80s anime hijinks ensue. It was a breeze to watch most of this because you pop the disc in and you can play
right from the beginning, and it just will continue to the next chapter, and each chapter is essentially the different episodes. So as far as menus go, it's very simple. It just lets you select the episode from a static screen. There's no fancy-dancy stuff done here. The audio is Japanese, the original, with new subtitles created for it that are very easy to read on the screen. There's nothing else to select on there. There doesn't appear to be another subtitle option, so if you're hearing impaired, it's just the normal subtitles, like the spoken words. It isn't the like extra background noises or descriptive video involved. So it's just a bare bones plain release. But that being said, it's pretty good quality considering the age of the print, and they haven't gone and remastered anything. It looks like it's right from the original, I guess it would have been like beta tape masters, the original one-inch masters they would have used for broadcasting. So it's pretty consistent that way. It retails here in Canada for about $50, about, I think, $20 less or so in the States. It's well worth it if you're a mecha fan. If this is your first mecha, I would still suggest going with something like a Gundam. But if you are a fan that wants to dip your toes into something a little deeper, you know, this is something you're going to want to check out. So that's Zabungle from Made in Japan on standard definition on Blu-ray.
What makes you qualified to be a reporter?
I'm willing to violate anyone's privacy for my personal gain and then claim with a straight face that the public has a right to know.
By the hand of Zeus, what manner of deviltry is this?
I love fake alien poop day.
And welcome back here to Twig. And now it's time to talk about the weird, the wacky, the just plain fucked up. We're going to start things off with a man who is no stranger to the world of sports entertainment, and now perhaps even xenobiology. Who am I talking about? Famed baseball player Jose Canseco. So if you were following Jose Canseco's Twitter last week, he says, and I quote, "We are in communication with aliens with a very flexible body composition called the AI-51. Those aliens are going to teach us how to try and travel the brain can physically travel without the body. Aliens have been trying to teach us how to time travel, but first we have to change our body composition, which we are not willing to do. We have tried with animals and it has failed. Time travel puts 42,651 pounds of pressure on a human skeletal structure. Can you detach the brain from the body and equalize the pressure? It can be done. Our science is totally irrelevant to aliens. As soon as it's available, invest in space travel. You don't need a wall. You need android robots. If we colonize the moon, I should be president."
So he will also be hacked?
No, he really believes this.
This is somebody who's done way too many steroids and probably been hit in the head too many times.
Oh, it gets better. Potatoes are pure venom for the human overtime. Roaches also have families. Mermaids are eternal and can breathe in salty or plain water because they eat so much spittoonia or something. Try it. It is better than pure chlorophyll. Sometimes I believe I was a lycanthrope in a future life.
Okay.
This is a guy who used to be able to hit balls very, very well over many, many fences, the wall. I remember growing up saying, I want a Jose Canseco bat.
Didn't he also get pop for doing like a bazillion steroids?
I want to say yes. He's definitely one of the people who has definitely been caught up in the roid controversy, if I remember correctly. But yeah, also, that's
you don't have
nuts.
To have. Let's just put it this way: you don't have to have been to school even one day to play baseball.
Yeah,
like
hit,
you don't have
hit
to
ball run around the bases.
You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't need your math. You just need to be able to run and listen and know your game.
So, yeah, that's a thing. So moving on to my next story here, and I got to go kind of quickly because my iPad is quickly running out of power where I got my stories here. Website Snopes, who's known for debunking stories that may be true or not true. Basically, it's the place where you go, is it bullshit? Evidently, they're ending their fact-checking partnership with Facebook. They have chosen not to renew their agreement with the social networking giant. Snopes says it is still open to working with Facebook again in the future, but the small operation simply didn't have the bandwidth to continue helping debunk bad information being spread across the Facebook platform. Mostly, this goes back to an initiative that went goes back to 2016, where they started to helping debunk stories, basically stop the quote-unquote spread of fake news or memes and stuff like that, basically where people were getting reliable information, or if you forward this, you will get a virus. If you click on this, you will give 5 cents to some child in Africa who's dying of cancer and will also get their wish to go to Disneyland, that sort of thing. So I got to say, that's kind of sucks to see them do this, because I think Snopes was doing a very, very good thing by helping debunk a lot of these fake stories. Because the amount of false information I see being spread on Facebook on a daily basis is staggering. I would add more political commentary to this, but I don't want to piss people off.
You know what it comes down to, and I'm going to try to be very careful how I say my words here. A surprisingly large number, we're talking percentage-wise, there's a surprising percentage of people that are really gullible. And
yeah.
And it's not like you might take that as, oh, it's an intelligence thing. In some cases it can be. It's there are people that believe things before doing due diligence, a lot more than you'd think. And it happens, not even like the scale we see here, it's way in developing countries, it's way worse. Like they'll believe, like there's 60 Minutes, an entire show on how in Southeast Asia, people rely on Facebook for the news. They don't actually watch normal news because they have been told and bred basically to know that the news media is fake news and what you see on Facebook is real, when it's the exact opposite way around.
I could very easily believe that. And I want to say, I think I remember the 60 Minutes story you're talking about specifically within, I want to say Malaysia or something like
that. Yeah, it was Malaysia, I think, was the main focus, but other Southeast Asian countries. And because it's just easier for them to have their cell phone and look it up there than it is to actually own a television.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a lot of people there can't read, so they don't read the newspaper because they can't. So they just see whatever they're told there when they watch videos.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was, I thought, something that hopefully...
weird and alarming.
Yeah, weird, alarming, scary. Last story, this one was sent in to us by Twig listener and fan of the show and good friend, Jen McMiler. She sent this in that evidently Coco, the sign-talking ape who passed away last year, evidently had a secret nipple fetish. I'm just going to read some of the highlights here, then we'll talk about the story. So Coco dazzled audiences with her incredible sign language skills, befriending superstars such as Robin Williams, William Shatner. However, Coco developed a series of alarming and antisocial tendencies, including an obsession for women's nipples. A lawsuit filed in 2005 alleges... Shut the fuck up! Sorry, iPhone's going off.
Is your robot talking to you?
Yeah, my robot was asking about antisocial tendencies. So according to a lawsuit filed in 2005, alleges that workers at the Gorilla Foundation were forced to show their nipples to Coco's trainer, Francine Patterson. Kendra Keller and Nancy Alpern said they were pressured to engage in the sexual act of removing their clothes to expose their breasts to Coco. Patterson insisted the ape's obsession was strictly non-sexual and revealing her breasts was a natural way to bond with her. And Coco died last year in July, and now the Cincinnati are trying to get back her former companion, Nadumi, from the Gorilla Foundation. This is weird.
But I get it.
At the very least.
I get it.
I get it too. I mean, from one angle, I could see it because the gorilla would see the other human females as maybe part of their pack.
And I was just going to say because nipples are hot, sure.
I get it, though. In a weird way, I can see this. However, pressuring trainers and other people who are around Coco to, hey, show me your boobs, that's a little strange, and I don't, obviously that's not cool, interspecies or not. But I kind of get it, though. It makes sort of weird sense to me.
I wonder what the American Sign Language is for show me yo titties.
You know what? I have people who speak American Sign Language. I could probably find that out for you. But I guess even animals have kinks, man. So no shame in here, man. If that's your deal, that is your deal. Party on.
That's fairly no shame tame. Here.
Yeah, exactly. That's fairly tame considering what's out there on the internet. And believe me, we've seen some weird shit on this show.
Coco the gorilla, still better than Trump.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for this edition of The Weird News. We'll be back after our visit to Satan's Pantry, which is always something. And we'll also have a review of Dungeon Mayhem, the Dungeons & Dragons branded card game from Wizards of the Coast. We'll be back right after this, right here on Twig.
Welcome to hell.
You wouldn't serve it to a pig! It's inedible!
Welcome back to Satan's Pantry, where we decide to, well, try not to get E. coli or get sick here on this show.
No more bum water, Michael.
No more bum water.
The last time, I don't need to rinse anymore.
All right, so we are trying things out that you may find in the international aisle of your local grocery store, big box retailer, or perhaps that weird little corner store that you've never quite decided to venture into. As always, Alex decides to find the weirdest things. He finds us the best chips. The weirdest chips. What do you got for us this week?
Yeah, whatever's in reach.
Is it chips?
Chips. Sea salt chips. What's the brand? Natural. I'm pretty sure that's not the name of the brand, but
Natural
that's what it says.
Brand.
The rest is not in English. Brand. And also, sea salt doesn't look like that.
Oh, boy.
Made with real sea.
It's good till April, so that's good, I guess.
Which year?
Sea salt chips. Oh, it says sea salt chips cumin. Cumin is not sea salt. Cumin
what
is what's
cumin?
It's the main ingredient in tacos? Mexican taco meat. Yeah.
Okay. So sea salt tacos.
Ingredients. Chips. Dehydrated potato. Salt. Paprika. Simple. Turmeric. Edible palm oline. Oline?
Palm olive.
Glucose. Cumin powder. Black pepper powder. White pepper powder.
Sounds like there's a lot sea more salt, than sea turmeric. Salt in this.
Yeah, you fucking like 10 months. It tells you the shelf life, though. 10 months unopened.
Weird.
Right on.
I kind of wish they did that here in, you know, North.
Yeah, like we have a best before date, but it tells you literally how long you should keep it on the shelf before tossing it.
Yeah, destroy it or whatever.
It's from Unipresident Organics Corp. That sounds like something from RoboCop.
Or Resident Evil.
It's Taiwanese as well as some of the other chips we've had before. So, what do you see here? Nutritional information. Bad.
You will get fat.
It actually says that. Not really.
Yeah. Okay.
Truth in advertising.
Let's open up. It's one of those really thick bags, too. Oh, I'm going to have to tear the side.
Hey, there we go.
All right. You look formed.
I'm not sure how to take that.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. Does it smell like the sea?
It smells like cumin a little bit. You ever see those, what is it, munchies, the chips here? Where they're like those weird, you'll see.
Formed.
They look weird. Formed. Like they look like they were punched out of a mold.
This smells like the back of a grocery store.
It smells
like cardboard.
Back room.
You'll know exactly what I mean.
Yep.
Kind of has that faint, like you said, cumin, but it comes off as BO. To me, anyway. Oh, there's the cardboard.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, the storeroom. They're very curved. Extremely, they're like bowls. Which is now the third chip in
a row.
It
has weird texture.
Where it's felt like it would be a good fit for a dip. But the flavor, we shall see.
All right, let's take a look.
I'm
going to
grab a couple of these.
I'm going to grab three.
They look fairly well seasoned, fairly consistent throughout the chips.
All right.
But they're like little bowls.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Let's go for it.
Ridged bowls. There's a hair on mine. Let's see. Oh.
They have that munchies consistency.
They taste like nothing.
Yeah.
They taste like the back of a grocery store.
Yeah, it tastes like...
that cardboardy paper.
Cardboardy poppables, but with no... flavor.
It tastes like licking basement.
Yeah, they have almost no flavor.
I mean, they're crunchy. That's positive.
Why is there smell but no flavor?
Consider that list of ingredients. The rather noticeable smell, but almost zero flavor.
Yeah,
I'm kind of disappointed in that one. That one was $1.50, I think. So I paid for nothing.
Yeah, it is reminiscent of munchies, except ridged.
Yeah. This is boring.
They know what they look like? Half clamshells.
I can see it.
Yeah.
Or like little squid things with like cartoon squids.
Mm-hmm.
Or cartoon ghosts from Pac-Man.
Yeah, overall, I'd say this one was a complete fucking failure.
Yeah, no, not good or bad either way.
Yeah, this they're is just extremely there. Boring.
This one requires dip.
Here's a bit of crunch and air.
It's the, there. Here. Here's your carbs for the
You day. Know what? If you had a Mexican dip to go with the cumin flip chips.
Oh, there is the cumin aftertaste.
This would be... This is a dip delivery system.
Yeah.
Not even dip. If you had, like, a bowl of, like, chili or ground beef, you could scoop a little bit on that.
Or taco meat. Just yeah. taco meat.
Yeah, you know perfectly. What? Too bad. I can't say anything good or bad about it.
Yeah, it's just kind of bleh.
Turn the volume down, you fat fuck. Look at me.
Hey, guys. Today, we're taking a look at something kind of unique and different. We're looking at Dungeon Mayhem. That's coming to us from Dungeons & Dragons. And what this is a quote-unquote action-packed card game for 2 to 4 adventurers. You can play as a paladin, a barbarian, a rogue, or a wizard. And you're basically battling it out to see who can survive to 10 hit points, more or less. Now, me and Blair, because she's fairly a card game and role-playing noob, decided to play with me for a couple of different hands, trying each of the different classes out. And I gotta say, the game is recommended for players 8+, and it definitely skews that way. I would call this Magic for Dummies in a weird kind of way, because there is some strategy involved in how you attack and defend and draw cards with this. Now, there is no penalty for quote-unquote deck death. You just have to reshuffle your cards from your discard pile back into your draw pile, and there it is. However, getting to that point is, I would say, good luck with 2 people. Now, 4 people, potentially, I could see this game lasting a lot longer. Me and Blair were playing this, and each hand, or game, rather, of battling it out to 10 hit points was over in about less than 10 minutes. In fact, Blair whooped my ass twice in a row, once with the wizard, and then she pretty much kicked my face in with the barbarian. I played as the paladin, who seems, I would argue, is a little OP, and the rogue, who's definitely a lot more defensive than I would have thought. But overall, though, playing this game, it's hard to see who the audience for is. Now, obviously, they want to get the Dungeons and Dragons branding on as much stuff as possible right now, because it is so hot right now. But I kind of wonder who this is for. Is this for older adventuring parties like me and my friends? I'm going to argue not. However, if you want to get people that are younger, as that recommends ages 8+, that's not a terrible idea, as it is a fairly simple game that does have some early learnings of strategy built into it. However, one of the things I would recommend that you probably should do while playing this game, rather than use the included hit point tokens, I would argue just getting out a D10 and tracking your life that way. I know a lot of Magic players use a D20 to track their life to 20 that way. It's a lot easier and a lot less messy. And then the only thing you really have to track is damage counters, like shields and whatnot, things that can absorb damage, and they typically don't have more than 3 hit points if I remember right. So do I recommend Dungeon Mayhem? Only if you have little kids or you're looking for something to fill the void on, say, a camping trip or something like that. Otherwise, Dungeon Mayhem, it's a kitschy little item that may or may not belong in your D&D collection, but if you're a kid, you may get some mileage out of this. And that's the kind of show it has been here on Twig, your flagship of stupidity. It's been a good show this week. Like I said, I kind of started off kind of sad talking about the Screw Attack and Machinima and the Game Heroes, all sites that have now technically been Thanos snapped into non-existence, though the memory lives on. Trying to think what's coming out on the show this week. Well, this week Twig is going to go to Guelph's own GenreCon. We're going to see people like Mark Mir, some Power Rangers, such as the blue SPD, red Dino Charge, and I think the white Dino Thunder, the white Dino Thunder Ranger. Yeah, he was the guy
some,
who was
some
in
white guy.
The guy who was in Dimensions in Danger from the most recent series of Ninja Steel. He's going to be there. And I'm not saying their names because I can't pronounce their last name, so I want to be respectful and not be a jerk about it.
Fair enough.
So we're going to be there probably Friday, Saturday, Sunday, depending. We're just trying to see what Mr. Christopher's schedule is, because he typically does all my interviews. We're going to see Twig friend of the show, Miss Hyde Cosplay, who typically cosplays Mara Jade. She does a fantastic version of that from the Star Wars Expanded Universe. We also, speaking of reviews, Alex is going to be having his review of Kingdom Hearts out the week after next, or this week, or whatever.
It'll be this coming week.
Yeah, it'll be this coming week. I'm working on Resident Evil 2, so you may get two game reviews in next week's show. I'm still waiting on some additional content from some of our other content partners. It's kind of nice to have a little bit of a lull right now.
Yeah, I've got a few things. I've got three other games that I got to have a review out for very shortly, but they should be coming out in the next week or two. I'll have a Turtle Treasure out as well.
So yeah.
And then I'm still waiting on a few things to come in the mail. So we'll see what's going on.
Yeah, we will see what's going on. So keep it locked here to Twig. I am pretty sure we'll have something from Mayhem Mikes, from Ryan and Blanchard. We should also probably, I know I should be doing something with Steve Megatron Phillips for Future Imperfect. I'm going to catch up on Star Trek Discovery probably this week at some point. I also need to start watching The Orville, as I did promise Alex I would watch the entire first season.
I will give you the worst nurple you'll ever imagine if you don't watch it. Vice grips.
I'm trying. and all that fun stuff. So be sure to be keeping it locked here to Twig. We appreciate you guys for sticking with us for the last 12 years. We could not have done this without you. We definitely appreciate it. And as long as I've got money on the credit card, the site will keep going. So until next time, we have been...
Alex.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd, and the words of my favorite guy from WMMR, Jackie Bam Bam, be kind, be cool, be careful, and as I say, live free or die hard. We'll catch you guys again next time, right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Well, that's our show.
All right, here's the deal. Every time you watch my show, I will send you $40.
Checks will not be honored.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek, your source for guaranteed nonsense or your money back. Tune in next week for more info and the most important things you didn't need to know. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head over to this episode's post at thisweekingeek.net and leave a comment through Facebook Connect. Follow us on Twitter at thisweekingeek.net and follow our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. Social media not your thing? Send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time, and remember...
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Just when you think this show is terrible, something wonderful happens.
What?
It ends.
I have to go. Somewhere there is a crime happening.